Monday, May 13th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. You know, I hope that you were able to take care of the moms in your life yesterday for Mother's Day. Lots of good moms out there. They deserve your attention. They deserve to be taken care of a little bit yesterday. Hopefully you got that done, and we are off on another week. Hey, happy Monday to you, and happy birthday to the Brown Bomber. Yes, Joe Louis was born back on May 13th in 1914. And while he probably doesn't get the credit he truly deserves, because honestly, you can make a pretty good case that Joe Louis is actually the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time.
What?
Wait a second. Hear me out. He held the title from 1937 to 1949, during which he participated in 26 championship fights. He won 25 of them. In his professional career, Joe Louis was an incredible 66-3, and he beat some of the great fighters, including Max Baer, James Braddock, Billy Kahn, and Jersey Joe Walcott. And I know a lot of times we tend to look at previous eras in sports and we say, well, yeah, I mean, they were good then, but you couldn't do those kind of things today. Hey, Joe Louis would have been excellent in any era. He had a 76-inch reach, and he had what you can only describe as short, violent punching power. He didn't need to wind up and throw haymakers like Mike Tyson. He could rip your head off in a phone booth. He didn't need much room to get that punch off. He could throw a 6-inch punch and knock you out. Hey, if you ever watch the rematch fight between Joe Louis and Max Schmeling, I will warn you ahead of time, it is as vicious and violent of a fight as you will ever see. Hey, I would have loved to see Joe Louis fight some of the more modern heavyweights. I think he would have more than held his own. Today was the day that Joe Louis was born. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite fighter of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if you have a suggestion for a show, I did hear from a listener this last week that I'm going to talk about in just a second. But please, reach out to us. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, you should stop by tpublic.com. We do have Daily Dose iTeam t-shirts over there, sweatshirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of Daily Dose items you can purchase over at tpublic.com. Everything over there is reasonably priced. They constantly do sales. If you're looking for some Daily Dose gear and you go over there and you're like, I don't know about the price, go back a second time. I promise you the price will be lower, but they'll get it to you quickly, and it's quality merchandise over there. I have seen a few items in person. It looks good. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, as we do on many Mondays, we will be examining what we learned from the weekend in sports. You know, it's not enough just to watch sports. I want to take things in. I want to examine them. I want to pick some things up. I don't just want to watch with an empty head. I actually want to learn something from the sports that I take in. We learned a number of things from the weekend in sports, some interesting things going on. Going to get to those in just a few minutes. But real quick, before we get started, we've now been doing the Daily Dose Sports Podcast for nearly 5 years. Come December, I think it'll be the fifth year. It is always an interesting experience. And I hear from different listeners here or there, and I am always truly amazed by the people that take the time to listen to the dose. But last week, I was honored to hear from a listener down in Lima, Peru, who we have heard from before. I don't know how he heard about us, but I am so thankful that he did, because Alonzo down in Lima, Peru, and I have talked back and forth about a number of different things. We've talked about the NBA. We've talked about the Daily Dose. We've talked about coaching. We've talked about sports, and he works in graphic design. So knowing I am a big Michael Jordan fan, he put together a photo of Mike hitting that game-winning shot over Craig Elo and the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the 1989 NBA playoffs, and he edited it so that we have some Daily Dose colors on it. He sent it over to me, and it is now framed and sitting on my desk here at the Daily Dose studio. Hey, Alonzo, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you so much for listening to the dose. You know, I've told you before, the best part about doing this podcast, and it is fun to come on and talk sports, but the coolest part about doing the podcast is the amazing listeners that we get. I am truly in awe. Thank you so much. and thank all of you for listening to the Daily Dose. Okay, let's jump into what we learned from the weekend in sports. And I guess the biggest thing that I learned this weekend is that the Portland Trailblazers, hey, they have more than one superstar. Because yesterday, in their Game 7 Western Conference semifinal against the Denver Nuggets, Damian Lillard didn't really look all that spectacular. He scored just 13 points. He went 3 of 17 from the field. But somehow, the Portland Trailblazers were able to advance to the Western Conference Finals. They beat the Nuggets in Denver 100-96, and it was mostly on the shooting of a guy that does seem to kind of get forgotten. I mean, we don't really think of CJ McCollum, but CJ McCollum goes for 37 points yesterday, and it seemed like any time the Blazers needed to come up with a big shot, he came up with a clutch shot every single time. Remember, CJ McCollum went to Lehigh University because most of the major basketball factories forgot about him when he was coming out of high school too. He's just a guy you don't think of. But McCollum has averaged 24.5 points in the playoffs this year after averaging 21 points per game during the regular season. But like all great players, his stats have gone up in the playoffs when the stakes are higher. He delivers yesterday big time for Portland. Now they will go on and face the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Don't forget about CJ McCollum. We think of Lillard. Sometimes we think of Enes Kanter. CJ McCollum is pretty good in his own right, and him being healthy has been huge for the Portland Trailblazers. We did also learn that for as young and talented as those Denver Nuggets are, they're just a little too young. They're just a little too dumb. They're not quite tough enough to continue to win playoff series. You know, they got away with some of those flaws in the first round against the San Antonio Spurs. And I'll say this, the Nuggets did exactly what I thought they would against Portland. They gave them all they wanted. But in the end, they couldn't get stops when they had to. They couldn't get rebounds when they had to. And they still don't always have a go-to clutch scorer when they need one. And for as talented as big man Nikola Jokic is, I mean, you can see late in that game, he doesn't always want the ball in crunch time. He even kind of tries to sort of set that screen and pop and fade away and get away from the ball because he doesn't always want the basketball when it is crunch time. Late in the game, he gets fouled. He went just 1 of 2 at the line on some huge free throws that you absolutely had to have. Hey, Nikola Jokic is an excellent young player. He just isn't that cold-blooded killer in crunch time, at least not yet. Maybe he develops that, but not yet. Now, hopefully, this Nuggets team learns from this postseason experience. They got to play in 2 Game 7s. Hopefully, they continue to make progress. Hey, they've got a lot of pieces to work with here. The only free agents on this team going into the offseason, we're going to see Trey Lyles and Isaiah Thomas, neither of which played a minute in the playoffs. So maybe the Nuggets can get a little bit smarter. Maybe they can get a little bit tougher. And, you know, maybe they can find a shooter. Maybe they can grow up a little and figure out, hey, when the game is on the line, this person needs the ball. I don't think they always have that right now. But now, at least they know a little bit more of what to expect when the games matter most. We did have one other Game 7 in the NBA as the Philadelphia 76ers faced the Toronto Raptors in that one game playoff for the chance to meet the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And in that game, we learned that for a change, the Toronto Raptors actually broke someone else's heart instead of having theirs crushed in the playoffs like they usually do. Doesn't it seem like every single year we see the Toronto Raptors get their guts ripped out and lose a series that they absolutely should win? Well, honestly, we are starting to think it might happen again yesterday, because after leading for most all of that Game 7 at home, the Raptors looked like they were starting to get themselves in trouble again. They led the whole day, but with 4 seconds left, Philadelphia 76ers guard Jimmy Butler hits that shot to tie the game at 90. And we're looking around saying, hey, it might happen again. This game could be heading for overtime. And if so, momentum is going to be with the 76ers. But remember, this year, the Toronto Raptors do have Kawhi Leonard, and that does seem to have changed everything. Here is a clip of the final play of the Sixers versus Raptors Game 7, courtesy of TNT.
Good Got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Yes, the Toronto Raptors win on a crazy shot by Kawhi Leonard that bounced around on the rim four times before finally falling through the net and eliminating the Philadelphia 76ers from the postseason. Hey, the Raptors will now move on. They will face the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, but for a change, it was not the Toronto Raptors getting their souls crushed, and we have not seen that very often. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to today. The Golden State Warriors, I think they surprised everyone over the weekend. So did the Los Angeles Lakers, but for completely different reasons. And we are going to be talking about a sporting event that, honestly, it doesn't make one bit of sense. Well, at least to me. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises, but if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports. And we learned over the weekend that the Golden State Warriors, yeah, they can still win it all without Kevin Durant. On Friday night, without Kevin Durant in the lineup, and the Houston Rockets needing a win at home in order to just stay alive. Hey, the Warriors knew they can just go back home. They can close out the series in Game 7 in the Bay Area. The Rockets know their backs are against the wall. They must win the game on Friday night or it's over. So what happens? Yeah, the Warriors kind of did what they do lately. They find a way to close out the Rockets on their home floor and move on to the next round. You know, I'm watching the Golden State Warriors versus Houston Rockets game on Friday night. And of course, we all heard about it. Steph Curry goes scoreless in the first half. Everybody's talking about, did you see Steph? He hasn't been held scoreless since 2015. People on social media are lighting up Steph. Maybe he's lost a step. Maybe he's not quite as good. You know what? Before, he wasn't shooting so good because KD was in the lineup. Now he's not shooting so good because KD's not in the lineup. I mean, they can't really make up their mind. But we are hearing that maybe Steph Curry isn't the player that he was. But you know what stood out to me about that first half? Was that Steph Curry didn't have a point? And the halftime score was 57-57. Wait a second. Steph doesn't have a point and the game is tied? Now, I'm going to go ahead and assume Steph is going to score some points in the second half. Going in at halftime, I looked at that game and said, hey, the Rockets are in trouble. Big trouble. Because like I said, you know Steph's not going to go scoreless in the second half too. He's going to come out and knock down a few shots. Huge advantage going in at halftime for the Golden State Warriors. And then, of course, in the second half, not only does Steph come out and score a few points, he puts together an amazing performance. He scores 33 points. And you know, the funny thing about it, I didn't think it was this crazy hot shooting heat check kind of night. On the night, Steph Curry was 9 of 20 from the field. Little under 50%, not horrible. But he was just 4 of 11 from three-point range. Wasn't like he just shot the lights out. But Steph Curry somehow found a way to just grind out some points, to get points when he had to. Some of them even going to the basket. Hey, what did we talk about last week? One thing the Warriors weren't doing, they weren't going to the basket. On Friday night, Steph decided, hey, the shots aren't falling from outside. I'm going to go get a couple easy ones, get the confidence going, get the rhythm going, and then let's just kind of see if I heat up. Sure enough, he does. The Golden State Warriors are able to grind out a 118-113 win, and they move on to the Western Conference Finals. Houston playing at home, done. Hey, the Warriors are still the champs. Don't forget, they have won a title without Kevin Durant. They could do it again. On the other side of that, we learned that the Houston Rockets, as they currently stand, yeah, just doesn't look like they can beat the Golden State Warriors. On Friday night, they had everything going their way. The Warriors don't have Kevin Durant. The Warriors don't have Boogie Cousins. Steph Curry is not shooting the ball that well. Klay Thompson hasn't been shooting the ball that well. And you can't say that like James Harden just didn't show up, or that Chris Paul was just a total no-show, or got hurt, pulled the hamstring. No, none of those things happen. James Harden goes for 35 points. Chris Paul scores 27 points, his best offensive performance of this series by far. You're playing at home. Just win this game, and let's see what happens in Game 7. But Houston couldn't do it. They allow Steph to score those 33 points in the second half. They commit 22 fouls on a night that, as I'm watching that game, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know, NBA refs kind of wanted to help them out. I'm not saying they were tilting the game completely in their favor. I just kind of thought they were getting a few favorable calls. They still fouled 22 times. They allowed 48 points in the paint to a Golden State Warriors team that, again, doesn't have Boogie or KD. I'm not saying that Houston just has to go away now, but they can't beat the Warriors as they currently stand, and we now know that for a fact. We all know Houston was looking at this and saying, hey, just get us the Warriors again and let us be healthy. We're going to change things. Last year we went cold. Last year we choked. Last year Chris Paul got hurt. But this year it's going to happen. No, it's not. Same exact outcome. And you know, we talked about this last week a little bit as well. Both of these teams are older teams. They are aging. The difference between the two is that Golden State finds a way to win these games and the Houston Rockets do not. Staying in the NBA, we did also learn that the Los Angeles Lakers circus continues to make no sense whatsoever. On Saturday, it was announced that the Lakers were hiring their new head coach. No, it's not going to be Tyronn Lue. Remember, they didn't like how that looked, so they're not going to hire Tyronn Lue. Instead, they went out and hired former Indiana Pacers and Orlando Magic head coach Frank Vogel to coach their team. Now, for the record, I will say this. I absolutely think Frank Vogel can coach. He is a demanding, kind of fiery guy. He will make his team play hard. He will make his team play defense. From that perspective, I think it is a good hire. But now, let's stop and think about what that coaching situation is that he is going into. A tough coach that is very demanding. He's going to coach you hard. He's going to make you play hard. He's going to make you play defense. This is literally the exact opposite of everything LeBron James is about. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't always play hard. He certainly doesn't like to be coached. Here's a challenge for you. Name one coach that has ever coached LeBron James hard. Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. I can't wait for the NBA season next year. And maybe Vogel brings some things out in this group that we never expected. Maybe they start to play defense. Maybe they start to play more efficiently, taking higher percentage shots, finding ways to manufacture points. Or maybe this is going to be a complete disaster and LeBron's not going to like it and he's going to push back and he's going to demand he get fired or he get traded and Lonzo Ball's dad is complaining and Lakers GM Rob Pelinka, who sounds like the guy that is actually calling all the shots in this franchise now, I don't know why, but he's going to end up getting fired too. I could see this all go bad really, really fast. And you know who's not going to take the fall for any of this? Jeannie Buss. Because she doesn't take the fall for anything. She never does. She probably should. I think we can look at the Lakers and say under her watch, they have gone downhill quickly and way further downhill than anyone could have dreamed. The Jeannie Buss isn't answering for any of it. She just keeps blaming someone else, and I fully expect that to happen again. We did also learn that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is far more concerned with appearances than actual production and efficiency. Did you see what Adam Silver said over the weekend? He says he wants half of the NBA refs to be female. You realize that your league literally has the worst referees in all of major sports, right? Your refs, in fact, are so bad that Las Vegas literally waits to see the refereeing lineup before they issue their future odds on games. Shouldn't you be more worried about actually getting good officials, regardless of race or religion or creed or gender? I've got news for you, Adam Silver. You should probably be far more concerned about your referees' eyeballs than their genitals. But I also know this. I know that Adam Silver is a guy that is very concerned with image. He is very concerned with optics. He's not always so much about, let's say structure or integrity. Hey, I am fine with female refs. Here's my catch. I want the best refs. Shouldn't that be Silver's goal too? I don't want you to be concerned with who's getting the jobs. I want you concerned with we want the best. I mean, remember this while we're on this whole female thing. Remember that the WNBA doesn't even pay their players a fair percentage based off the money generated by the league. But Adam Silver, you're going to stand up and pound your fist and tell us how you want equality for females? Why don't you go deal with that situation over there first? Go get the best officials. I don't care what gender they are. And the fact that you're standing up and saying you want 50% females tells me you don't really care either. You're just concerned with how it looks. Now, on the positive side, more female refs might actually put an end to all the incessant arguing by the players because, wow, how much arguing are we seeing with NBA players and NBA officials throughout these playoffs? It's terrible. I have never seen it so bad. And maybe if the NBA brought in more females, that kind of stuff would stop. Because I'll tell you this, I've never won an argument with a female in my life. So maybe that would help curb some of those things. We did also learn that Dallas Mavericks big man Kristaps Porzingis, he just keeps getting in trouble away from the basketball court. Remember, first, there was that accusation of sexual assault by a woman that he apparently, slept with in his apartment building back in New York. He didn't even seem to know her until that happened. She was trying to get some money out of him, even though, her story has a ton of flaws in it. But then, over the weekend, Porzingis allegedly visited a nightclub in Latvia, where they say he was jumped and involved in a fight against four Russian males, who they say were upset that he left the New York Knicks. Now, why these four Russians care about the New York Knicks, I don't know. But Porzingis suffered a cut on his forehead. He also did get his shirt ripped. He had some blood on him. But, thinking about this, I'm not sure about the toughness of these four alleged Russians. Keep in mind that there are four of these guys fighting one NBA player. Hey, we all know NBA players do not fight. If there is one thing that NBA players are not capable of doing, they don't fight. Have you ever seen an NBA fight? There's no fighting. There's no punching. There's none of that. There's like some slapping. There's like some, there's like some hold me back and pushing and shoving. But when was the last time you saw NBA players just get out there and start hooking? I've told you this before, and I know this for a fact. NBA players are not fighters. It is rare. Every once in a while, you'll find one that is a little bit of a fighter. And when that happens, it's rarely a big guy. It's usually like a crazy guard, an Alvin Robertson or someone like that. It's not the big guy. Here's the thing. We've talked about this before on the Dose, but the biggest guys, and you're talking about a 7-footer here in Porzingis, he's been the biggest guy his whole life. Who's going to fight him? No one's going after a kid when you're little that's like double your size. So they've never been in a fight in their entire life. And then they get in the NBA and they're kind of facing other people that have never been in a fight in their entire life. But on this night, in a bar, four normal people just off the street jumped an NBA player and all you did was cut his forehead and rip his shirt a little bit? It doesn't sound like these were exactly Russian mafia types here. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis held his own against all four guys at once. Yeah, I don't know if these were the toughest guys in that Latvian bar that night. Hey, Porzingis needs to get back in the gym. He needs to stay out of trouble. This is a guy who we are seeing his career kind of get dangerously close to going away very, very quickly. Kristaps Porzingis needs to figure some things out. He's getting involved in things off the court that he has no business getting involved in. Stay out of trouble and stop doing dumb things. You know, we don't talk much soccer on the Daily Dose, and I don't have a huge problem with soccer, personally. It's not that big here in America, but we just don't talk that much of it. And I think some of the reason is because we don't really have like a real pro sports league over here that's interesting at all. Hey, when it comes time for like World Cup, when it comes time for the Olympics, I like watching soccer, but we don't talk that much soccer here because there's just not that much to talk about on a daily level. But we did learn over the weekend that the Premier League, Premier League, I don't know how you say it, whatever, they have now crowned their new champion for the year as Manchester City clinched the title yesterday over Liverpool, who was in second place, making them the first back-to-back champion since Manchester United won two in a row back in 2008 and 2009. So here's a question. How did Manchester City clinch the title? Was it like a late comeback? Did we have like a final minutes dramatic play to get the big win against a rival in a championship game? No, it was a 4-1 win over 17th place Brighton. Oh, and by the way, there's still like a few games left in the season, I guess. Look, I'm trying to like a soccer league here. I'm trying, like I want to get on board with the Premier League. I really do, or some soccer league, La Liga, I don't know, something. But I don't understand these soccer leagues. I really don't. There are still games left. You played one of the worst teams in the league, and that is what clinched the championship for you. Now, I understand that we have some weird things over here in the States, but like we go to the playoffs and you get the best teams and you play the best teams. And when it is the final game, it is hopefully the best team versus the best team, not the best team against the 17th place team. I don't understand some of the foreign soccer leagues. And I'm not saying they're bad. And I understand, hey, they get more viewers. There is more excitement over there than there will ever be about anything American. I understand all that. I struggle with some of these foreign soccer leagues. I don't get it. I know I'm trying to be more understanding of the world's game, but I'm struggling. Help me, because I'm struggling. I don't always get it. I don't understand. I know other people are smarter and they get it. I don't. Okay, moving on. Finally, we did learn that in the NFL, the Washington Redskins are extremely excited about how good rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins has already looked. Washington minicamp was running over the weekend, and head coach Jay Gruden says he really likes what he has seen from Dwayne Haskins already. It's been a treat, Gruden said. He's made some throws that turn your head without a doubt. Redskins senior vice president Doug Williams also said this: it don't take long for the ball to get from point A to point B. Hey, the Redskins, who drafted Dwayne Haskins with the 15th overall pick, they're trying to stay patient. They're trying not to get too excited about this. But you can look at Dwayne Haskins and you can see, hey, this kid's probably going to be challenging for the starting job. And I know they're trying to be patient. They don't want to get too excited, but hey, this kid has some skills. People are getting excited about how good Dwayne Haskins has looked in minicamp against players that most likely are not going to be in the league, and in drills that in no way are a true test of what Haskins is going to see in live action. Did I just say a few minutes ago that the Premier League doesn't make any sense? You know what? My bad. This makes no sense whatsoever. The Washington Redskins are all excited about a player doing some drills against what I imagine are like fifth and sixth string players and maybe some coaches with brooms, and they're all fired up about it. Hey, look, I like Dwayne Haskins. I really do. And I think he could end up being a quality quarterback. But let's slow down on how good he has looked in mini camp. It's mini camp. No one cares. Everyone looks good in mini camp. Every quarterback especially looks good in mini camp. You don't have any pass rush. You don't have any defense. You just drop back and fire the ball all over the place. Of course, quarterbacks are going to look good in minicamp. I mean, except for Denver Broncos quarterbacks. But other quarterbacks, they're going to look good in minicamp. Denver Broncos quarterbacks, not so much. They couldn't throw a ball in the ocean. But other quarterbacks, they look good. Don't go getting all excited about stuff that does not matter. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will, of course, be looking at some of the biggest stories in the world of sports. And then, you know, I hate to do this sort of thing. I really do. But we just might. We might have to talk a little bit of baseball tomorrow on the show. I know. We don't do it very often. But it is now May. We probably should talk a little bit of baseball at some point. We might have to talk a little bit of baseball tomorrow on The Dose. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. And again, I know I say it every day, but thank you so much, all of you that reach out, that text us, that tweet us, that message us, that send us Michael Jordan pictures to sit on my desk. Are you kidding me? That is absolutely amazing. Thank you all so much. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.